Hey, what's up? Are you out of the room?
Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
For the second week in a row, the HFFF Hour reports to its audience that Dwayne Bowe reports to the Chiefs, the Pittsburgh Steelers mistake Rashard Mendenhall for Adrian Peterson, and a sad day for the NFL as we tearfully close the book on the Jordan Shipley era in Cincinnati. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this August 17th episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com and Miller64 right here on Blog Talk Radio live from the Carl's Jr. Studios. I'm your host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is the multitasking master, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, we reveal our 2012 FFPC scheme team. We play a would-you-rather with a fast-rising wide receiver, and we'll talk to 2009 FFPC main event champ Don Metter about how he was able to build the best team on the planet 3 years ago. Plus, we'll answer all of your emails before we let Scott Atkins and Mike Trent come up on the top of the hour for Red versus Blue. Dave is going to be a little bit distracted tonight, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. He is commissioning literally 14 drafts right now because I am actually hosting the show. And we all know the professionalism and the work ethic I bring to hosting this show. So it was literally impossible for me to commission draft. And Dave is sucking it up as it's sort of like an undercover boss type thing where he's like doing the work of all the normal FFPC commissioners and Football Guys Players Championship commissioners who are off doing other things tonight. Dave is hard at work. So he is going to come in when he is available tonight, but Don Metter will be coming up in about 13 minutes here, so we'll have a conversation with him. Shout out to the chat room right now. Two Packer, Billy Waz checking in, Coyote Streakers, Henry Mudo, Jim Struble, Tim Teabag. Have not seen Tim Teabag in there before. Wayne 8348 and Raiders is also in there. And my two favorite people in the world, Guest 5336 and Guest 5371. Feel free to post any questions you might have in there, guys. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, you can do so at HSFF Hour or just add the HSFF hashtag to your tweets this evening. You can also post on our Facebook page at facebook.com/the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour 2. If you want to chime in and talk with us, give us a call at 347-426-3682. That's 347-426-3682. You can also email the show at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for me, if you have any questions for Dave, any questions for Don Metter, now is the time to send them. This is your final warning. The Real Leroy, once again, producing the show tonight, and he is a stickler for time-sensitive stuff. So make sure you get those questions in right away. Otherwise, Leroy will not have time to print them off and get them to me and Dave, and you'll be upset, and quite frankly, I will be too. We'll do our best to get to all the questions, tweets, and emails in our fantasy feedback segment later on in the show. The FFPC wants to also remind you about the 2012 Football Guys Players Championship. For just a $350 entry fee per team, or three for $1,000, each player will have a shot at the $150,000 grand prize, as well as $2,000 in league prizes as well for 2012. Play the contest with the highest mid-stakes prize structure ever offered. There are still plenty of draft times open, so hop in and grab your preferred times. As always, the entire 2012 Football Guys Players Championship prize fund is placed in an attorney escrow account and is fully secured for the entire fantasy season. Remember, coming up Labor Day weekend will be the draft-a-thon, and if you can't find a spot to draft then, well, you got problems because there is going to be a ton of round-the-clock drafts going on that weekend, so make sure you check that out. I want to get started with Fantasy Flash here and just talk about a few things that are in the news. We're kind of heavy on content, which I know I always say is a problem, but tonight it might actually be a good thing because we are going to have, like you say, we're going to have Don Metter coming up in about 10 minutes, but we'll have real intermittent Gerzak tonight. So if you're a Dave Gerzak hater like me, you will love this show tonight because it's going to be a lot of Balkman. And if you're an Eric Balkman hater, feel free to tune out right now. We already got your downloads. That's all we care about. Starting with Fantasy Flash, for the top of the roll here, Ryan Matthews says he'll be back for week one. Now, this is something, this is interesting. This is from Pro Football Talk. Is reporting this today. Broke his collarbone, obviously, against the Green Bay Packers in week one of the preseason. He told Extra Sports 1560 that he has, quote, no doubt he'll be ready to go in week one versus the Raiders. It's interesting because Lou Tranquilli actually sent this out in his BFP email, which you can subscribe to at bfpfantasyfootball.com. He sent this out today, and I totally agree with this. I've heard it before. You never take injury advice or rely upon injury consultant with the player. You never, whatever they say, yeah, that's just what they believe. That's how they feel. That's not necessarily medically accurate. So you take it with a grain of salt. I am not buying the fact that he's going to be back week one, or what he considers to be a fact that he's going to be back week one. I am still of the belief that he is a slow healer and he will not be back at the earliest until week four. That's how I feel. Dave, you've actually taken him in a couple of drafts already. You are a little bit more bullish on him than I am.
Well, I mean, I think the value you're getting out of him is just fantastic at this point. So, I don't know, give it a shot. You know, I think you have a definite possibility still of a guy who he really could be a top three or top four running back for the weeks that he does play. So if he misses week one, you grab some guy in the seventh round, you start him, and you're fine.
The other thing, too, is, you know, a lot of these high-stakes players are trying to win a national contest for $200,000. So, you know, drafting or not putting a guy who, you know, 2 weeks ago was the consensus number four running back, just poo-pooing him based on an injury that may only cost him one game, may not be the smartest idea in the world. I am not as much of a risk taker, so I could honestly say, I know Dave, you say this all the time, he's off my board because I just won't take him at a spot where I'm comfortable taking him. Moving on, Michael Floyd. He remains low on the depth chart. This also from our future friends at ProFootballTalk.com. He's still behind Andre Roberts, still behind Early Doucette on the depth chart. Larry Fitzgerald is not too worried. He says Michael has a unique opportunity. He's not going to be asked to carry the full load. He'll have a nice complimentary role until he gets comfortable in there and can get featured more and more.
Which will be in 2013.
And that's the problem I have, Dave, is like, you know, you're trying to win this year. This doesn't help you in the fact that Michael Floyd is still number four in the depth chart. This is a sprint, baby. If he's not starting by like week three or four, that's a wasted draft pick.
Exactly. So you shouldn't take him.
I am of the belief that now is probably a good time to target him, or maybe week two or three is time to target him in dynasty leagues. But as far as high stakes leagues, do yourself a favor and don't. You don't want to be the guy going, "What the hell was I thinking drafting Michael Floyd? It's so stupid." You don't want to be that guy. So you and I are both in agreement. Michael Floyd, not draftable.
I'm passing.
Brandon Lloyd has been impressing in camp. This is from Field Yates from ESPNBoston.com. He reports that...
I love to hear reports like this, and I'll tell you why soon.
All right. Brandon Lloyd has caught almost everything thrown his way in training camp, and he could be a huge part of the passing game this season. Well, that's not really news. We do think that he is going to be a huge part of the passing game this season. Why do you like reports like that, Dave?
I like it because it pushes up Lloyd's draft value, and then he gets picked too early, and I can grab other receivers I like better later.
See, I thought you liked Brandon Lloyd this year.
I like him. He's all right, but I mean, I don't think he's going to end up on many of my teams.
Okay, well, that's interesting that you say that, because I thought we'd play a would-you-rather with Brandon Lloyd, because I thought you were high on him.
Well, I guess that's times are changing. You know, unlike some of these sites, and we don't actually have a site or anything,
right,
of course, you know, I mean, rankings are pretty fluid. As things, you know, you think through things, and you think through how the offense is going to be used. I think that Lloyd will not get enough targets to really make a huge, huge impact. But, I mean, I've seen him go in the late third of some drafts.
Right.
Before Steve Smith, for example, just as an example, not that I want to keep saying of him, but number eight receiver last year, and his quarterback has another year of experience.
The other thing with Lloyd, too, is there are a lot of mouths to feed in New England.
That's putting it mildly.
I'm glad I made this a long list because now I can go the other way on this. I was going to go topwards. I'm going to go downwards now. Dave, who'd you rather have, Brandon Lloyd or Eric Decker?
Decker.
Brandon Lloyd or DeSean Jackson?
I would still take DeSean Jackson myself.
Brandon Lloyd or Torrey Smith?
I actually like Torrey Smith a lot, so I'd take him.
Wow, Brandon Lloyd or Pierre Garçon?
Garçon, I like Garçon.
Brandon Lloyd or Reggie Wayne?
There I'd Michael Lloyd.
Okay, so that's the last guy on the list.
Oh,
so we
right.
found the line. He's going. So that's where you'd have. You have the Lloyd between Garçon and Wayne. I think I like Lloyd better than, not Decker, but I like him better than Jackson. I like him better than, that might be the only guy on there. Because I like Smith, Garçon, and Wayne better than him. The thing is with Lloyd, it's like, I understand that he is with Josh McDaniels back in that New England offense. But, I mean, Gronk's there. Hernandez is there. Welker's there.
Their defense has improved. They might run the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of reasons not to like Brandon Lloyd. That said, kind of the Ryan Matthews argument that if you want to win $200,000, dude could be the number one overall receiver this year.
Who?
Brandon Lloyd.
Oh, you're full of crap.
I'm not saying he will. I'm saying he could be.
No, he cannot be.
He's already been the number one receiver overall in fantasy once before.
Okay.
And that was with Kyle Orton throwing to him.
Yes, with no one else. In order to be the number one receiver in football, you have to have targets. You have to have 150, 170, 180 targets. People who get those are like Roddy White, Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson. He's not going to get enough targets. End of story.
Okay, well, what about injuries creeping into that?
If you're going to project an injury to Gronk,
I'm not projecting. I'm saying there's a possibility for it. If you're trying to bait me into I got five on it, you're not going to do it. That's not going to happen.
For a sucker bet there.
I would really have been a sucker.
I'll spot you six spots. I'll say one through six. One through eight.
No, because I don't even feel that confident about it.
You shouldn't make silly statements.
What I'm saying is that he could. He certainly had his potential.
You're like an announcer on NFL Network.
Here's the difference between me. Because those guys will say it about 30 different guys. I'm saying it about like 10. Maybe not even 10. I mean, seriously. Who was the number one receiver last year?
Calvin, probably.
Who was number two? It was either Jordy or Victor Cruz. And nobody would say that they were even in the argument.
Welker, I think, might have been in PPR.
I don't think it was Welker. I'm pretty sure it's Jordy.
I'm not going to bet on
that. Let's just put a cap on the Lloyd discussion. You hate him. I love him. You know what this is going to mean? Yeah. Maybe we'll put a five on it, but he might make it on my preseason all-Balkman.
Yeah, your all-Balkman team.
Yeah, so that we'll see. I feel pretty good about that. Moving on, the Chiefs signed franchise player wide receiver Dwayne Bowe, 1 year, $9.515 million contract. I know you're not a Bowe guy this year.
Correct.
You do not like Bowe. I was liking him before this, and now I'm liking him less now because now I
know that he signed.
Now that he signed, because I always knew he was going to be in camp, but like now it's coming to the point where now his value is going to go up into the late fourth, early fifth round. And I mean, there's all those receivers you can get in the fourth round. It's insane this year. So it's like, why take Bowe there when there's so many other good guys that, you know, you can be just as happy with?
And it's going to be a real rushing-based offense, and I think that, you know, I just don't think he's quite, you know, he'll put up some decent numbers, but I always hate it when guys miss camp. It's just not a good sign.
Yet
I would still draft Matthews.
Right. Adam Schefter says Kenny Britt could end up with a short suspension. Is Britt going up your rankings at all, or are you still not liking him because of the knee problems?
I probably won't take Britt because he is a knucklehead, and then he has the knee problems, and he could get suspended. It's like, dude, that's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you know, compare him to like a Dez Bryant. Bryant's completely healthy, and everyone else on his team is injured. I mean, Witten's hurt, Miles Austin's hurt, so he's kind of a knucklehead, but it's like, you know, they're saying this is your last chance. Well, he gets this last chance. He's a guy who could be a number one receiver overall.
Right. Oh, that's real. He's on my list. He's on my list.
Yeah, you're 10 list.
Whatever. Seriously. I mean, I'm not going to sit.
But, I mean, if Dez has this pedigree, and he could actually get 180 targets if all these other guys stay hurt.
He's on the list, too. One thing I will say about, about Britt, we were on this show last week, we answered an email from Jim in Nashville, Tennessee, said, should I be worried about Titan skill players this year? And we're like, should.
Sure.
You know what Kenny Britt is? A Titan skill player.
Yeah.
So we're downgrading.
One to worry about.
We're downgrading because of that and because the fact that it is you have an 11-game regular season in the FFPC. If Britt misses three games, well, that's like a quarter of the season.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking like 9th, 10th round, fine. But, I mean, I've seen him going.
I've seen him going the 9th and 10th. No, rarely in the 5th.
But I've seen him go in the 5th and 6th and 4th in some leagues.
Dave, the Steelers have activated running back Rashard Mendenhall off the PUP list.
according to Bob Labriola on Twitter. This was going to springboard us into an argument or into a discussion on our scheme team. I want to move our scheme team to after, because we have Don Metter coming up here in just a couple minutes. I want to move the scheme team to, we're going to do that right after we talk to Don. But let me just talk briefly about Rashard Mendenhall. Does this change at all your feelings on Rashard Mendenhall right now?
I would say slightly. I mean, but I still, you know, he got injured so late in the season that I don't like taking running backs off ACLs, and that includes Adrian Peterson. I mean, Charles is a different story because this happened so early. He's got his other issues, like Peyton Hillis is one of them. But
this does not change what I felt about Rashard Mendenhall at all. Dude tore his ACL late last season. You remember a couple years ago when he had that shoulder issue, and there was these whispers around the Steelers locker room that they were ticked off. He wasn't rehabbing with the team, and he was kind of lackadaisical in it, and he wasn't.
Didn't he make some offhanded comments about the 9/11, or, you know, he made some sort of...
Yeah, it was something like that,
he's
too, on Twitter,
of,
yeah.
And he's not even that talented on top
no,
of it.
No,
like he's great.
Listen, we saw what he did, what he could do last year when he was given, you know, a heavy workload. Not much.
Yeah.
He is very unspectacular.
Can't catch.
If you're looking for a lottery ticket, people, look elsewhere.
Yeah, like the lottery.
Like the lottery.
Like the gas station.
Great place. great place to find a lottery ticket is a lottery. Hey, it is quarter after, 16 minutes past the top of the hour here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. My name is Eric Balkman. His name is Dave Gerzak. And coming up now, I want to introduce our tonight's guest on the show. He is a financial advisor and has been for 20 years.
Hey, you know, so you're not going to have to ask him what he does for a living, though.
I did that for you.
I appreciate that.
I put that,
hey,
in.
We skipped the question.
Like, yeah, I don't want Dave beating me up again over that. So he's been a financial advisor for 20 years, Dave, but he's been playing fantasy for 22 years. So
impressive.
He's actually been a fantasy footballer longer than he has been a financial advisor. He's a lifelong Chicagoan. He's cashed nearly $150,000 in all of his years playing fantasy football. He is the 2009 FFPC main event champion. It's Mr. Winner Winner Chicken Dinner himself. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome into the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, Mr. Don Metter. Don, how are we doing tonight?
How are you, Dave?
Hey, what's up?
We're so excited that you're able to join us because you actually you've already drafted today.
I did. I'm getting used to seeing your name as the commissioner.
I've done a few, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's what happens when you have two kids, as I do, and they're at home and you're home watching them for the evening and there's nothing else to do. Well, what the heck? Let's drop a draft in.
I like that idea.
It's a solid. I think that's a lot of FFPC players have that that same attitude. And football guys, players, championship.
A lot of them just don't really have social lives or, you know, friends. Oh yeah, I shouldn't say that.
Are you talking
those
about
are customers? Those are valued customers.
That's right. You better be careful about that, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm joking. I'm kidding.
Hey Don, let's get into this. How did you? Now you've been playing since 1990. How did you originally get into the high stakes part of fantasy football?
Well, actually, you know, most people do it backwards. They'll start in a $20 or $25 league, and then it'll grow from there. My first league, I was a probation officer in Chicago, and my partner says to me on a Friday, he goes, "Hey, I'm in this thing called fantasy football. Do you want to play?" I go, yeah, okay, what is it? So, you know, I bought a book, and I'll never forget my first pick was Jim Kelly, and my second pick was Neil Anderson on the Bears. Right. And when I got the bill at the end of the year, they did it a little different. They did it as $1 a point from the high score down to the low. So, I mean, at the end of the year, all of a sudden, I owed like $900. and I was like, wow. You know, most of the time you go in reverse, you start at 20 bucks and get your foot in the water. And so anyway, I kind of was always into it from a higher stakes type of format. Whether or not I could afford it or not was a different story, but that's what it was. But as the more organized it became, I mean, it was whenever WCOFF started, you know, back in 2000 or whatever year that was, the internet wasn't quite as prevalent for information. So, you know, you look forward to that June day when the books would come out. And I went and bought a book. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, there's this ad for the World Championship of Fantasy Football. And I said, what the heck? Let's spin to win. So that's kind of what I did. And I loved it from day one. And that's kind of how the fever took hold of me.
You know, I think, you know, we had Drew Maselli on here a couple of weeks ago. And he was saying he did the same thing. That must have been a big thing back in the early to mid-90s is this dollar a point thing, because he got killed on it when he played it too, and he was like, what the hell is this? You know, I don't want to do this. Well, then he got into high stakes and he's never looked back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don, how many drafts have you done already this season, and how many more are you planning on doing before the season starts?
Well, legitimate drafts, meaning like, you know, four players championship and like those, I've done four. No, five, I take it back, because I did the Keeper League back in May. So I've done five. I'll probably do two or three more of those. But I will say I probably do 6 to 8 drafts a week, but all Draftmaster formats and all low-dollar amounts. And I do that. I don't even do it so much for the money aspect or even the draft, because it's a different format. It's one tight end, point per catch for tight ends even. I do it more so when I'm looking for players and I have that minute between my picks, I can click on a guy, I can see statistics, and it's more of a forced way for me to look at statistics versus just pulling out a book and starting at quarterbacks and going through running backs and all that stuff. So, you know, probably real leagues, I'll probably have about 9 or 10, and then of these little bogus ones, I'll probably have another 50, probably 25.
Good Lord.
Remember, that's 25, and once that ball is kicked, that's done. I don't look at it. It's actually funny. My buddy says to me, he goes, how do you not check? And I all my Draftmasters teams, I don't check until week 14, no matter what.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because, like, for me, like, you know, I play in some DEs or whatever. I check it every Tuesday morning, dude. Like, I have to know. It drives me nuts if I don't know how my team's doing.
Yeah, no, I don't, because you know what? There's nothing I can do about it.
That's
in the Draftmaster format, so why bother?
By the way,
when you're running 9 or 10 other leagues or teams, you know what? I have enough to keep on my plate.
That is above dispute, Don.
So, Don, do you do the same thing with your clients' investment accounts then? You don't check those too often?
Thanks, Dave. Thanks.
Don,
you can trade.
When I see you in Vegas, I will get you for that little comment, my friend.
Don, on that same note, just to kind of branch off a little bit, when you don't check those teams until week 14, what's been the best payday that you've just all of a sudden realized, like, oh, I'm gonna win this league, you know?
Actually, it's really funny. The one year I won, I was like second in overall points of all the Draftmaster leagues in WCOFF. I drafted a team, and my last pick was Joey Galloway, and I actually forgot I took him. And that's the one year, like, he revived himself with Tampa Bay for, like, one year. And all of a sudden, I looked in week 14, I'm like, oh, my God, I got, like, a real chance to win money. And as it turned out, I ended up winning first in that Draftmaster, so I collected, like, $5,000. I was second overall in total points for all the Draftmasters. So that was really kind of cool to see that.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
Don, you've played high stakes since the birth of since WCOF got going. What's a high stakes player that you really love, you know, really enjoy the draft when he's sitting at your table? And what's a guy that you just hate competing against because he or she is so damn good?
You know what? It's actually it's interesting the way you put the question, because here I get a chuckle when I buy the books or I'll read and they'll say, you know, the experts. Here, we're all experts. We all put enough time into this now. We're all pretty good with information. The guys that always cause me the most trouble aren't necessarily better or worse drafters than me, but they know me. So they know my tendencies and where I like to pick and where I like to pick guys. So, you know, like one guy here, I love having him in my league. I'm sure you know him, Recovery Boys. He's from the world champion Pittsburgh Steelers. He has a Steeler jersey, a Steeler socks, everything. You know, John Rosick's always tough to play with. I was in a league with him Sunday night or Monday, whatever it was. And, you know, he's always a good drafter. You're not going to slip anything by him. You know, so those guys are always difficult to deal with.
Let's talk about, because you dealt with all these guys and you beat them all in 2009 when you won the FFPC main event. Obviously, you know, in order to beat out all those teams, I think when you were playing, it was like 180 or something like that, or it's some ungodly amount of teams that you ended up outlasting, and you were at the top at the end. you have to get a little bit lucky. That goes without saying, is you have to get a little bit lucky. But what was the single biggest reason that that team won the title?
You know, looking back at it, and I actually have that draft board framed in my basement. For whatever reason, it was one that I threw in my luggage. I must have had a thought in my head, and I normally pitch them or I at the hotel room, and I threw it in my luggage and I brought it home, and you know, I looked at it. I had it at the end of the year, so I framed it. So I look at the board, you know, every so often, just when it gets to be football season. And I will tell you, the thing that stands out to me is even my gamble picks, the depth on that team was really good. I mean, I took Miles Austin in round 17, Steve Smith of the Giants in round 14. Every running back I took on that team played, from Lawrence Maroney to James Stewart. Here, my number one pick was LT, who was nothing. He was just a touchdown machine. But, I mean, never any yardage. But it seemed no matter who I put in there, I mean, week 16 of the year, you know, Jonathan Stewart goes off for 210 yards or something like that. So depth really mattered a lot for me. I mean, and I won that league. I mean, even I remember Alex saying to me, what was even more impressive is I lost my starting tight end in week 7, which was Owen Daniels, and I went the rest of the way with, like, Jeff King and Dante Rosario. Now, those are some championship names for you fellas, Jeff King and Dante Rosario.
And I always use that example, Don, when people talk to me about the FFPC and the FPC, and people are of this belief that unless you have, you know, multiple stud tight ends, you don't have a shot. And I always say, hey, Don Metter, the guy who won in 2009, Jeff King, Dante Rosario, his starting tight ends when he won the whole thing. So I don't mean to say, like, you know, it doesn't help having stud tight ends, because certainly
those
I think
are some bad tight ends.
Well, no, I think if it came down to it, week 16, Don, and you were able to start Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates over King and Rosario, you would have jumped at the chance. But it goes without saying, and you said depth was really key on that team, and that's how you're able to win.
Yep, and you know, the other key thing, and I know a lot of guys like to play the quarterback roulette. I had Tom Brady, and I drafted him, you know, fifth round or whatever it was. Every week, I didn't even think about it. You know what? We have enough decisions to make on a weekly basis on tight ends and questionable guys and doubtful and late games that it's nice to be able to say, that's my guy, and I don't care. I'm never going to second guess that. That's one less decision for me to make.
27 minutes past the top of the hour here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. We're talking to 2009 FFPC main event champ, Don Metter. Don, when you went into that draft, did you do anything differently at all? Or was this the strategy you applied in that draft, was it the same strategy that you had applied in numerous drafts beforehand?
Well, here's the best part for you. I never have a strategy. I never target a player. I don't care who I get. I guess my strategy is I have no strategy. I go in and I say, well, if I think the best guy at that spot, yeah, I mean, I guess it's the value way of drafting. If the best guy at that spot happens to be a running back, then that's who I'm going to take. If it's a wide receiver, that's who it's going to take. I don't really look for positions till about round 14. So I've had times where out of the top 12 picks, I've had three quarterbacks just because they've presented the best value to what I've needed to win a league.
That's interesting, and that's probably how you're able to acquire all that depth then, is because you're just looking for best value rather than, you know, a position of need.
That's it.
You know what's interesting is they always say that about NFL GMs too, that they don't fill holes, they just grab talent.
You know? The difference, though, is that Don's telling the truth.
Well, no, I'm talking about guys who aren't necessarily GMs. I'm talking about guys who talk about the great GMs, like Ted Thompson, Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah, that's what they always claim that they do that.
Well, whatever. I mean, I think that there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, let me ask you something. Let's fast forward to 2012. Dwayne Bowe obviously has already reported, so I'm going to throw him out of this question. But Mike Wallace, Maurice Jones-Drew, have not reported yet. Are you, I don't want to say you're hitting the, are you, you know, hitting the panic button on these guys and they're undraftable? Are you looking at more of a value standpoint here? If you can get MJD or Mike Wallace at a value, are you looking at drafting them?
They'll never drop low enough for me to take them. Here, I'm a believer that they don't have training camp just because it's something fun to do. They have it because it's necessary. And I just think that today's day and age, these guys are so hitting's part of the game. And here, look at Chris Johnson last year. Was obviously a different player. Obviously a different player. They won't drop far enough. Now here, Maurice Jones-Drew goes to the fourth round. Sure, I would take him. I would take a flyer on him. Mike Wallace goes to the sixth round. Sure, I would take him. But, you know, I'm just not seeing that here. I think the draft they did today, Jones-Drew was top end of the second round, and Wallace went in the third round. I think he might have went ahead of, like, a Brandon Marshall. I just don't see that logic. So, you know, the short answer there is no, I won't reach for those guys at all.
Amen to that. I like that.
It's interesting, too, because it's almost as if, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth here, Don, but it's almost as if because they're holding out and because they're not reporting, you actually think that that significantly decreases their expected production.
Absolutely.
Oh,
here, okay. Dave, I know you. I've seen you. You're a bodybuilder at heart. You need that type here. You need to build stamina. You need to build strength. And Mike Wallace, yeah, okay, it's great. He's running around on a track. That's great. Last time I checked, in the NFL, you don't run around a track. You run and you get blasted by guys going over the middle, although he probably doesn't. That's Antonio Brown's job. But, yeah, I mean, you just can't simulate that type of action. I think when you get to week 6 or 7 or 8, those guys are winded, and they're winded badly.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I might have to change my scheme team now when we get to that later.
Too late.
I'm having second thoughts.
Already inked.
Don, you've done a few drafts already, like you already told us. Are there any trends in some of these Football Guys Players Championship drafts or FFPC drafts that have kind of surprised you? You know, maybe some positions that you think are being, you know, drafted too early, hit too early, or positions that are not being dealt with as far as fantasy owners go that are providing great value later on in the draft. What have you seen so far that's kind of surprised you?
What is very surprising to me is here, you'd always have three or four quarterbacks or two or three that would go early. You know, now you're getting four or five, and that's not a surprise because 5,000 yards is 5,000 yards. But what's amazed me is then the remaining quarterbacks are lasting until the 9th, the 10th, the 11th round. And those borderline wide receivers, those question mark guys, are going in the 6th round, the 7th round, the 5th round. And I'm just amazed by that. You know, you got guys like, Antonio Brown, I think, is going super high in leagues. You know, guys like that that have never really done it, but, you know, they're getting drafted in the 6th round just because they're a starter. And that's – I'll get to, like, the 9th round, and I'll look for wide receivers, and I go – there's no one left to draft because it's the player's the same now in the 9th as it'll be in the 16th. I mean, it's a crap shot at this point. So that's really kind of surprised me from that front, how late the quarterbacks have gone and after the top 4 or 5 and just the amazing number of wideouts that are getting drafted, even the questionable guys early.
So are you trying to stay ahead of that trend by taking some other stud receivers early?
You know what? I try, even though I say I value draft, I like to, if possible, and it generally works this way just because you always have that mix of players. By the 3rd round, I like to have one. And lately I've been getting, like today's draft, I drafted 12. So I took Jordy Nelson and Hakeem Nicks happened to be there. So I said, you know what, I'll take a shot on him. Not so much because I love Jordy Nelson or Hakeem Nicks, but the running backs that were there by that point, I don't want Michael Turner. I didn't want Frank Gore. You know, I mean, those were the guys that were left. So more out of necessity, that's kind of where that played in for me.
Michael Turner just continues to take a battering on the high-stakes fantasy football hour.
Turner the burner.
27 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm Eric Balkman. He's Dave Gerzak. We're chatting with 2009 FFPC main event champ Don Metter. Don, we got a couple of emails in from some listeners that I wanted to read for you.
Are these from America?
Let me check here. Yep, both of them are from the United States.
That's too bad.
Hello, Mr. Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. Congrats on the big title in 2009. Hope you didn't spend it all in one place. What are your thoughts on Brandon Marshall this year? I feel like I can get him as my number one wide receiver in the 3rd round, and I think he's more likely to catch 100 balls than not. Is he a solid 3rd round pick this year, in your opinion? That's from Mick in Sacramento, California. Don, you live in Chicago. What's your read on Brandon Marshall?
Mick, there is no doubt that Brandon Marshall is the man here. There's one main reason, and it's job security. The Bears hired a new general manager this year, Phil Emery. He gave up 2 third-round picks. They promoted Mike Tice into the offensive coordinator, who, if you remember, had the Randy rules up in Minnesota. That's going to kind of be reenacted here in Chicago with Brandon Marshall. So, quite frankly, you know, you don't bring in a high. That's what all the fans have said for years they need, is a big play receiver. They brought him in, and they got the strong-arm quarterback. They got the first-year GM. They're going to make this work hell or high water.
You think Brandon Marshall's a slam-dunk top five receiver this year then, Don?
Yep.
Ah, interesting. Nice. All right.
That's, you get the good, honest content.
I know. Right? I like that. I like that. Yeah. We really don't get that. Well, we will get it if we ever get Mike Santos on this show. Then I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
What do you mean? Guys get on here and they don't tell you the truth? Is that what you're telling me?
Do you know Danny Miller? Danny Miller, he is the bane of my existence on this show. I will never draft Blaine Gabbert this year. Next draft I see him in, Blaine Gabbert.
And Gabbert went 10 for 11 tonight, baby.
10 of 12.
Oh.
Yeah. So he did throw that incomplete.
With two drops.
Don, finally an email here. Dear Dandy Don, one thing that has really surprised me so far in drafts is the rise of Julio Jones. A few weeks ago, I was getting him in Football Guys Players Championship drafts in the mid-third round. Now it seems like he is going in the first round every time I draft. Are people overrating him in these drafts? Where would you take Julio this year? That's from Jamie in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
I absolutely agree. I don't see how a guy goes ahead of Roddy White draft after draft after draft. Goes ahead of Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's the second option on that team. And, by the way, inside the 10-yard line, he's probably, what, the fourth option? Roddy White gets most of the balls if they don't run it to Michael Turner or if they don't throw it to Tony Gonzalez.
See, there's one instance where Michael Turner is ahead of Julio Jones on the old Texans chart there, Dave.
That's debatable.
Don, it's time for your bold verse sold. I want you to state your case for one storyline coming out of the preseason that's going to have a big impact on fantasy this year. It doesn't have to have an extreme likelihood of happening, but something that you think is flying under the radar that could definitely happen that not a lot of people are talking about.
Well, I don't know if this is flying under the – well, I'll give you two things. First of all, Tim Tebow will have more rushing touchdowns than Sean Green.
Oh, I love it. I love that.
That's my first thing. My second thing is no running back will have over 300 carries this year, which will make a bigger case why you need to draft one of the top three. And my third, and probably the most shocking, although I think people are recognizing it, hence the last question, is the Atlanta Falcons will score more points than the New Orleans Saints this year.
Yeah, I believe that.
I can totally see it. And I don't think a lot of people are talking about that. I think
no one wants to talk about it, but they all think it's based on their draft.
I feel like we've been depressing like Falcons on the show, except for I always
Let's
want
Let's not even talk about the Falcons.
Nah, you know who I want? We're going to do an all Michael Turner show one of these days.
Oh,
it's
God.
Fantastic. All right.
What do you want to get? Zero ratings? Is that what you're trying to do here?
Something like that, I think. I mean, again, we're still feeling everything out, so we don't know exactly what we're trying to do on this show yet. Don, it's time for Dave's least favorite and my most favorite part of the show.
I think it's time to spill the beans, boy.
The time has come to talk.
Let's have it.
We know you know, and you know we know you know, and we know you know we know you know.
Spill your guts.
Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
All right, Don, let's hear it. I wanna get a sleeper that you love this year, a guy who. How do we want to cap this? What round does he have to be going in, like, after?
You know, Don seems pretty intelligent. He can just...
All right, okay, fair enough. I won't treat him like you. I will... I'll just leave that to Don. Don, a sleeper that you love this year and a guy who's going fairly high that you would not draft with even my team.
So other than Michael Turner?
Other than Michael Turner, yes. I'm so sick of the Michael Turner hate on this show.
All right, I'll give you my... I'll go with the guy I can't stand first. Marshawn Lynch.
All right.
Interesting.
He just reminds me he's a plotter. He's Eddie George a year late. Emmett Smith. He's just, you know, you ever have those guys where they have that one last year, but you just know it's over for him? That's Marshawn. Plus, since when has Seattle ever given a, when did they give a franchise running back a 6-year deal? And then it worked out. Now, let's see, not Sean Alexander and not Kurt Warner. So this is going to be three strikes, you're out.
I knew that about Sean Alexander, by the way. They signed that deal. I'm like, oh, his career's over.
I literally have not thought about Seattle running backs Kurt Warner in, like, 10 years.
Yeah. Well, come here, you know. Say a little, say a lot. That's what I give you.
This has got to be the only football show on anywhere that had a Neil Anderson and Kurt Warner reference.
Yeah, C-U-R-T Warner.
I love it. Who's a sleeper that you like this year, Don?
Actually, a guy that I really like that I don't think is getting a lot of love anywhere is Greg Olsen, tight end on Carolina.
All right, hang up on him because we like Olsen.
Well,
I hear you. 50-some catches, I think, last year. The quarterback's a year better. The offensive coordinator loves the tight end position, and they lost Shockey, who had 35 or 36 catches last year. I'm getting him as maybe the 10th or 12th tight end off the board.
I
just don't see that as being – I mean, I think that's a ridiculously strong value for that guy.
We agree. Luckily, we only have 30 listeners or so this is great.
Yeah.
No one's going to know this.
Well, until people start downloading it.
It's funny because as I'm going through my list, I had like three or four guys. I'm like, nah, I don't want to make him the sacrificial lamb. Nah, I want him. I'm going to keep that guy too.
Don, listen, I really want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. I know you probably would have been much happier.
I have one last question for Don.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So Apple stock hit an all-time high today. So what do you think going forward for Apple and the iPhone 5?
Listen to you. You're trying to get stock information out of me here, Gerzak. What's the matter with you? How do you fight that stock? The only knock on it is it's so darn expensive. That's the issue with it.
All right.
You don't get any leverage for it. I think you're better off playing some of the suppliers for that name.
There you go, Qualcomm.
All right.
Come
for the fantasy advice, Dave, for the stock tips.
Well, Dave, you know what? When I'm in Vegas and I see you, I will make sure I give you my business card, and then you can contact me at your leisure.
There we go.
I want to thank Gordon Gekko, Don Meadow, for joining the program tonight. Don, I want to thank you for coming on. Really good luck to you. And
is there some lovely parting gifts? Do I get, you know, is there...
Yeah, well, I'm going to get the real Leroy, our producer, on that. We'll see if we can send you in the mail, send you some brownies or something. I don't know. We'll find something for you. But, hey, we're going to see you out in Vegas in a couple of weeks.
I look forward to it. And, guys, anything you need, if you need me to give some more misinformation before the season, please don't hesitate.
We never do, Don. Thanks so much for joining
us
for the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour.
All right, fellas. We'll see you in a few weeks.
All right.
Can't wait to see Don. You're going to just badger him with stock tips. Again.
Oh, you know it, homie.
And it's so awful.
Not tips. I'm just begging for free advice.
And you don't even try to hide it. Just literally have no shame.
You just walk up, ask a question, and smile, and he'll give it to you.
It's embarrassing, quite frankly. listen, we have about 17 minutes left in the show, and we have about 30 minutes worth of material. So we're going to fly through this.
I highly doubt the statement's correct.
I mentioned this earlier on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. We're revealing our scheme team tonight, okay?
Right.
We kind of, we had a 30-second brainstorm session on the name of this. And after 30 seconds, we're like, that's good enough. Let's roll with the scheme team.
That was in pre-production.
We've never spent that much time on anything before, so we're really proud of this. So the scheme team, what it is we're seeing a lot of, and Don alluded to it earlier, we're seeing a lot of value fall in these Football Guys Players Championship drafts, FFPC drafts. And we feel that this team that I have assembled here is a team that you can probably get like 70 or 80% of the time. And it's really good.
It's great.
It's a great team. Now, after talking to Don, I may say it's maybe not as good as I thought, but it's still pretty good. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it. What pick are we going to take?
The 7th pick.
Right in the middle.
7th pick, first round. Maurice Jones-Drew. A guy who is Yeah, that's who I'm taking.
Oh,
first
great.
Round.
Oh, keep going.
A guy who is not being picked in the first round, but you can totally get him there. And honestly, I think the only reason he's not being picked in the first round is because of his contract. Before he was holding out, he was going at like the 5 or 6.
Yeah, so you're getting a pick worth of value. No, it's not bad. All right, we keep going.
2nd round, your boy, Ryan freaking Matthews.
All right.
You can get him at the 2-6, and I would say probably about 50 to 60% of the drafts, somewhere around there. He is picking up a little bit of steam, but again, we saw a report on NFL.com last night saying he could be out till October, so buyer beware there.
You know, well, go ahead. I don't know who your 3rd round pick is, but I really think that I assume you don't have Trent Richardson in the third, right?
No, I have another guy we already talked about, but I thought about Trent Richardson.
Because I think Richardson's a guy that he had this very minor surgery, and he's the type of guy that really, you know.
To me, like, you can pretty much get Trent Richardson almost anywhere in the second round.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going all over the place.
He generally goes wrong. A lot of times people try and get him at that 2-12-3-1 turn with a Foster. Or like,
that's what they like. They like pairing Foster and Richardson together. Mm-hmm. Third round, 307 pick, guy we talked about already, Brandon Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I think he's going to have a monster year. And you can get him in the third round in almost every single draft. Fourth round, this is a little bit of a reach, okay? But I wanted to get a third running back here. Kevin Smith, Detroit Lions.
Why do you have to get him in the fourth? Why don't you get him in the fifth?
Because the guy you're getting in the fifth is better.
for
you
your team?
Yeah, better for the team to get the fifth. Fifth round pick, Mike Wallace.
Yep. There you go.
I mean, like 100% of drafts, you can get Mike Wallace in the fifth round. Sixth round, a guy who recently started slipping because of his lacerated spleen, Jason Witten.
Even in the point and a half format, you can get Witten there.
And I mean, a guy who was like going as a top five tight end before, you're getting him in like the mid sixth round. I mean, and he might only miss one game, people.
Yep.
One. I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth saying, it's a sprint. Don't mess around. Get the guys that are healthy. And then at the same time, like, just if you can grin and bear it for one game, take him. So Jason Witten, the sixth. Seventh round, a guy you really like, Donald Brown.
Yeah.
100% of the time you get him in the seventh round, am I right?
No, you're not.
How close am I?
You're about a round off now because Brown caught
Really?
He caught that big, long, two-yard catch, you know, and then he went to the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's true. That was all luck. What are you talking about?
It was all luck. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, good one. Okay, so maybe that won't work. Eighth round, another guy you're high on, Tony Gonzalez, a guy who – I don't think age really factors into your evaluation of him.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it factored in my evaluation of him in 2008 and then in 2009. Essentially, I just said, screw it, and I gave up.
Right.
And I just kept taking him. He's kind of like Hines Ward in that respect.
Yeah, when you said, screw it, taking him every year, that's the first guy I thought of.
I wrote Hines Ward for like 5 years because everybody's like, oh, he's going to drop off. And every year he was like top 15. I mean, Gonzalez was fourth last year overall. I mean,
right.
People keep on...
Fourth
among tight ends. But, I mean, people take, you know, Hernandez, they take Gronkowski, and they take Graham, like, in the first 20 picks overall, when you can get Gonzalez 60 picks later, and he was fourth overall last year. And their offense is going to be more wide open with more, you know, Julio is developing, so that's another weapon.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be open. He'll still be a great red zone target.
Ninth round, another guy you really like. Continuing our Falcons trend, Matt Ryan. And honestly...
Ninth round, you're not getting...
I don't know. I would say, like, and this is, again...
I would say 5% of the draft.
No, it's higher than 5%. Within the last week, he's probably moved up to, like, a late seventh.
He just went right here in this draft that I'm commissioning. It's a 6-2.
Okay, well, wait on quarterbacks, people. get RG3 in the 10th. But if you take RG3 in the 10th, you can't get Kenny Britt. 10th round pick.
There you go.
As your WR4.
I'm going to add one for that.
Okay.
I'm going to add Shane Vereen in the and he might move up a little bit with the injury,
okay.
But I think Shane Vereen
in the 11th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe in the 11th.
So let's just, the scheme team right here, this is the scheme team we've assembled, and honestly, maybe it's not as good as I thought it was, but essentially, let's say Carson Palmer is your backup quarterback to Matt Ryan. No, let's say...
Just take RG3 instead. At the ninth.
Okay, how about RG3 and Carson Palmer?
Sure, whatever.
RG3 and Carson Palmer, running backs MJD, Ryan Matthews, Kevin Smith, Donald Brown, receivers Brandon Marshall, Mike Wallace, Kenny Britt. That's a hell of a team.
It
Jason
is.
Witten and Tony Gonzalez at your tight end. Witten and Gonzalez. Start them every week.
I love it. And Gonzalez is healthy, so you can sit Witten comfortably, actually.
Totally. Listen, we're running low on time here as we only have about 11 minutes left in the show. I'm going to do something you're going to love. I'm not going to play the production for Fantasy Feedback.
Yay!
You know what else I'm not going to do?
No.
I'm not going to tell people how to get in touch with the show. You haven't figured it out already? Screw you. We're done. I say it 8 times every episode. So let's move on to the emails, Dave. Actually,
you're kind of aggressive tonight.
I am aggressive. I'm always aggressive. You just always keep me in check. A couple of tweets first. This is from GSF at GSF Ron. We know him as Two-Packer,
Ron Meyer.
On Twitter. He wants to know if we'll be discussing the awesomeness of the Chargers receivers on Friday's show. this was a tweet from like last week that we heard. We couldn't fit it in, GSF Ron. Please don't unfollow us. Robert Meacham, Malcolm Floyd, Vincent Brown, Dave. You like any of those guys this year?
I'm going to let you go first.
All right. Vincent Brown is probably the guy I like here because he requires the least amount of investment.
Correct. And he probably has, I don't want to say the most upside, but I mean, with Malcolm Floyd, you know, you're going to have to get a Brandon Lloyd type late career breakout to really have that happen. And I just don't trust Meacham myself. But go ahead. With
I don't. I again, Meacham's being drafted as a number one receiver, and I don't believe that he is going. We talked about the Chargers' schedule already. We're kind of like down. Well, except for Ryan Matthews, apparently for you. We're kind of down on Chargers altogether. Robert Meacham could never stay healthy in New Orleans. I have a tough time that he's all of a sudden going to start 15 games for the Chargers this year. He's not had the time to develop chemistry with Phillip Rivers like he had with Drew Brees, and he's no replacement for Vincent Jackson. I'm a little bit higher on Malcolm Floyd than you are. I would take him as a WR5. I might even consider him as a WR4. But Vincent Brown would be the guy I like here because you can get him much later.
Correct. Yeah, that sounds good.
Another tweet. This is from @jhawk707. He says, this is my Twitter. You can follow me there @EricFalkman. This year's...
Let me still give out your personal one.
@DavidGurzak, @HSFFPower. But really just follow @EricFalkman. I have most followers. This year's V Cruz, I assume he means Victor. Remember, he wasn't drafted in most leagues. Needs someone ADP 40+. His is Titus Young and Austin Collie. What is ours? I agree. Can I go first?
We're looking for a receiver that's drafted 40th.
After 40 receivers off the board.
All right, I'm going to give you someone.
I agree with the Austin Collie one. I don't mind the Titus Young one, but I think I don't know if he's going after the top 40 receivers anymore. Quite frankly, Austin Collie might be going earlier than that. He went kind of early in the draft tonight. But the other guys I listed here that I could see all being this year's Victor Cruz, Lance Moore, Steve Smith, Rams, Santana Moss, Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I really like Steve Smith Rams as a possibility there. Who was the first guy you mentioned? That was Lance Moore.
Lance Moore
is an excellent one. I see a lot of sharp fantasy players drafting Lance Moore.
Yeah, yeah.
And a guy that I kind of like really late is Donald Jones from the Bills. He's got 4.4 speed.
Yeah.
Man, I like that guy. He's solid.
The thing
and
is,
they fit in a rotate receivers and this and that. And but the coach, he also said that he's never seen him play faster or better. So, he goes 8-for-80 and a touchdown. Week one, everyone's going to pick him up on waivers. Draft him in the 20th round, you won't regret it.
And you can save those bidding dollars. On to the emails. This is from Ted in Canton, Ohio. Greetings, geniuses. And then he writes in quotes. Look at this. He put geniuses in quotes, and then he writes in quotes. So, greetings, geniuses, in quotes, in quotes.
Nice.
And he puts in quotes in parentheses. Big fan of the show. Can't wait for live on I-65. Neither can we. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. That should be a much-needed distraction for me next Friday afternoon when I'm at work. I'm curious as to your opinion on Jason Witten. A lacerated spleen sounds like something Big Ben would love to brag to the media that he had, but Witten seems to be downplaying it. How much time do you think he misses, and what round should I target him in? And is John Phillips now draftable? That's from Ted in Canton, Ohio. Dave, what do you think? Jason Witten.
Well, I'm going to go backwards. I don't really care for, John Phillips, that's a waste of a pick in my opinion.
Totally agree.
Even
in a DE, I wouldn't take him.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, what are you doing there?
Right.
No big deal. It's so tough to know with Witten. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how long it's going to take his spleen to heal. I would say I'd downgrade him a round or two, but that's about it.
I don't know if I'd take him in the fifth. I think I'd probably end up finding a receiver, a tight end I like there better. I would take him in the sixth. I do think he only misses 1 to 2 games. I think he's for sure playing week 3. He might play week 2.
And then maybe you look for your second tight end just a little bit earlier. I mean,
how about Greg Olsen?
Yeah, Greg Olsen, Gonzalez. Yeah. There's a lot of upside tight ends that are,
There really are. You can get Ed Dixon, Lance Kendricks late. I mean, all these guys could be potential.
Rudolph moved out.
Rudolph's another guy.
But he's all right. He's got a possibility.
Final email. Yo, FFPC Honchos. I finally downloaded your show last week and loved it, so I started listening to previous episodes. You guys are funny as hell. I don't know hell what's funny. I'm also a big fan of the FFPC and what you guys do. Plus, I'm excited that you might be offering baseball now, too. Well, we'll see. But since it's football season,
we do offer baseball. Yeah. You're in line to be the commissioner.
I am. And I can say this, I will do a better job than Bud Selig. That is my promise to you people. Since it's football season, I wanted to ask you a pigskin question. I love targeting pieces on elite offenses, but I'm having a problem getting a good read on my Saints backfield. Sproles is where the money is, but I'm not sure I want to sink a second round pick into him. Am I better off waiting for Mark Ingram, Pierre Thomas, or even Chris Ivory? I think Ingram
didn't Ivory get cut.
Oh, did he get cut?
I don't know. That's been rumored. Let's just
Real Leroy, get on that. I think Ingram has a good shot at bouncing back and having a massive season, but you guys don't seem to like him too much. As I turn the page here on this second email. Go Saints.
you missed Go Saints.
Yeah, Go Saints. That's from Matthew in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dave, what say you about the Saints running backs?
I think that Ingram is decent, but, I mean, he's going to have a problem where he has Pierre Thomas catching passes and, of course, Sproles catching tons of passes. in a PPR format, it's just an issue. You know, that's his problem. He actually looked pretty good in that preseason game, so I could see him getting his 200 plus carries, maybe 220 or something like that. But I still don't think he's going to produce those type of numbers. I mean, if he goes in the 9th, 10th round, I would definitely consider him if I really need another back, but I'm not really targeting him.
I totally agree with your assertion there, good sir. I lied. One more
what
email.
What about Sproles? Let's talk Sproles then.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I was fine with him in the second round because there's not a lot of great running backs in the second round. But, again, he's a slam dunk pick in the third. I think I might find better value in the second round. But I can go either way on it. You know, some days I'm like, yeah, I'll totally take him in the mid-second. Other days I'm like, no, I'd rather have Charles or somebody like that.
Yeah, I know. Or a receiver, you know.
Or a receiver, yeah. Right. We got about 4.5 minutes left in the show. Scott Atkins and Mike Trent, Red versus Blue, coming up at the top of the hour here. But before we get to them, I want to
read their guest.
I do not know who their guest
is. The special surprise guest.
Special
surprise. FDA Radio.
Well, it's a surprise to us because we don't know who it is. Who is it?
John
Rozek. John Rozek. Thank you. Real LeRoy.
The producer over there.
We're going to fire Rob, and Real LeRoy is going to be the new guy. So John Rozek coming up from Red versus Blue. It wouldn't be a high stakes fantasy football hour without an email from overseas.
All right.
Algernon, London, England. Good day, chaps. Greetings from across the pond in jolly old England. I've played fantasy American football for 2 years now, and I'm eagerly anticipating my third. Wanted to pick your brain, so to speak, about a gent I just saw at the Olympics. I was in attendance when your very own Yankee, Jeffrey Demps, ran his way to the silver medal in the 4x100 relay, and now he has signed with the aptly named New England Patriots. Shall I draft him in my league this year? Cheers, Algernon, London, England. What do you think, Jeff Demps? Draftable?
No, not in a redraft league.
Yep, simple answer there. No, he's gonna. And if anything, it's bad because it kind of clouds the whole Ridley, Vereen, Woodhead cluster F that's going on there. No, he's not draftable. And
didn't they sign him as a wide receiver?
No, he's going to be like a kick returner. But he's not big enough to play receiver. I mean, they're putting Aaron Hernandez in the backfield for God's sake. They're not gonna.
Let's not talk about that.
Right,
let's not talk about the positional change to Hernandez.
All right.
We have to announce next week.
All right, that is gonna do it for fantasy feedback. Dave, you ready to fly through shocks and locks?
Let's fly.
I'm not even gonna play the production. I feel like we should, but I'm not going to. Highest scoring Packers running back. All right. Ivory has not been cut. Real LeRoy. Ivory has not been cut.
Ivory's still rostered.
Okay. Highest scoring Packers running back this year. Who is your lock?
My lock. I would have to say Alex Green.
I'm going to say Cedric Benson just because he is going to get the most opportunity because I think he will lead the team in carries. And just by sheer volume, I think that he is the lock to be the leading Packers running back score. Shock?
I'd honestly at this point be shocked if it was Starch.
Yeah, I would be too. but he does have a talent. You know who my shock is? John Kuhn. Going to get all the goal line. He's going to score like 6 touchdowns this year, and just because of how bad that Packers running game is.
You know what? That would be a shock.
I love Kuhn there. Highest indie fantasy player, skill position, running back, receiver, tight end. Highest scoring Colt this year. Can I lay him out for you here?
Yeah, lay him out
get
for
me, get the juices one. So here's what I'm going to narrow it down to. Donald Brown, DeLon Carter, Mwelde Moore, Reggie Wayne, Austin Colley, Kobe Fleener, Dwayne Brown, or Field.
I'm going to go with Donald Brown.
Donald Brown is your lock?
Yep.
All right, my lock, Reggie Wayne. They're moving him all over the field. I think he wants to prove that he can be a dynamite player without Peyton Manning. I'm going Reggie Wayne. Your shock?
You know, my shock would be Colley, if Colley leads.
That would not shock me at all. Kobe Fleener, I don't really believe in him at all. It would shock me if he led the Colts.
All right.
Best player value in the FFPC first round. Guy who's most likely to return his value. So you're locked for that.
Best player to return his value. You went first. I got to think about this.
All right, best player to return first-round value, Ray Rice. I thought he looked awesome tonight. The whole offense is built around him. He's a total lock to return, you know, top three value in the first round.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with Calvin.
Now that makes sense. He looked even better than Ray Rice.
Well, you know, it's like he's going to get so many targets. He looks great.
I think we're going to agree on the shock, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, big time.
Total Aaron Rodgers there. So that is going to do it for our show tonight. Remember, tune in. 2 p.m. Eastern Time this Friday, live on I-65, Dave, the Real LeRoy, myself, Kurt Awe, will all be traveling down to Kentucky on Interstate 65. We're doing a show live from the car. It's going to be great.
We just need the charger.
Yep, we just need the charger. Send your email, send your tweet. It's going to be epic. We'll also be on the air live at the KFS
SU covering the one of the drafts going on there. Red vs. Blue starts now, everybody. Stay tuned for John Rozek. Scott Atkins, coming up now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.